7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
What's up, monkeys? Monkey Dan here. Welcome to the Live Wild or Die podcast. And on this episode, I just want to talk about a few things that kind of caught my attention as I was listening to some podcasts, scrolling around the internet, exploring the internet. So just kind of diving right into it. So being honest, I was on Facebook scrolling and saw something from Strong First pop up. So had to dive in. Strong First, for those of you not familiar, it was founded by Pavel Tatsulin, who is, hopefully I'm saying his name right, because he's a scary Russian man who is pretty much credited with bringing kettlebell training to the U.S. So really smart guy, has a really, really cool perspective on training and fitness, and his just general philosophy is definitely worth the time to dive into. StrongFirst.com is their website. But what caught my attention was there's a new book coming out called The Quick and the Dead. And this excerpt they talk about a friend of Pavel's that was combating or fighting poaching in Africa. And during his spare time, he would time leopards. And specifically, he would time how long it would take them to take down an antelope. And he kind of uses this analogy of these two different leopards. The first is this younger, well-rested leopard that hasn't really been ravaged by life yet. And the leopard sees the antelope, it takes it down in 16 seconds, and then is immediately up in the tree to safety. And then he contrasts that with this older leopard who has a thorn in his paw and is just kind of beaten down by life. And that older leopard, it sees the antelope, but it's slower, so it takes a little longer for this leopard to chase it down, but he finally does, makes the kill. But because he's slower, he can't get up in the tree before these four hyenas show up. So now the leopard has to battle four hyenas, which for him, he does successfully. But then he's so exhausted from fighting off these hyenas, he has to lay in the savannah for some time. Finally, he's able to recover and get his antelope up in the tree. But Pablo's friend goes on to describe how later he sees that old leopard crawl into a cave and die. He's just old, exhausted, and he couldn't recover from all that work he was having to do to take down the antelope. So basically what they're trying to say is that most people are doing training like the older leopard. They're going to exhaustion every time, and they're not able to recover and ultimately improve from the training. So I think we've talked about this before, where you can do the best training in the world, but if you're not recovering from it, you're not going to get better. And so I definitely know I'm super guilty of this in the past, and more recently I've trying to just be a lot more smarter about how I train. I have a baby girl. She's about 10 months old, trying to run a business. There's just time. There's the time side of it, but then there's also just the energy side. I kind of think about it how I have this finite amount of units of energy per day, per week, per month, per year, whatever, however you want to break it down. So if I go just totally crush myself in a workout first thing in the morning, I know I'm not going to do my best work the rest of the day, and I'm probably not going to recover super well. And then the next day, my training session isn't going to be that good. So what I've really shifted to since September of 2018, right? Yeah, 2018, is I've gone to more of this kind of grease the groove, strong first mentality of trying to do these micro workouts spread out throughout the day. And I never go to exhaustion. I go hard. Don't get me wrong. I'm going hard. If I'm sprinting, I'm going hard. If I'm lifting, I'm going heavy. If I'm doing monkey bars or pocket monkey, I'm pushing myself. I'm choosing challenging exercises. But the difference is I'm not just totally destroying myself, and I'm not exhausting myself, basically. And I think just the fitness, this kind of status quo fitness industry, or the fitness industry in general over the last, well, pretty much forever, honestly, it's always kind of sold this exhaustion. And I would argue that it's a lot harder to make a workout that's effective and doesn't exhaust you than it is to just exhaust people. It's pretty easy to just kind of come up with a bunch of crazy stuff and go at it for an hour. It's easy. It doesn't take much thought. But if you really want to program appropriately and have this long-term improvement, you've got to take that step back and kind of humble yourself in a way to not cross that line. And this has been a theme a little bit of this Live Wild or Die podcast. Talked about this on previous episodes, but what I'm not saying is to take it easy or slack off or anything like that. I'm just saying train smarter, train efficiently, train effectively, and it's ultimately going to lead to better health, hopefully maybe a little bit more happiness, and just you'll feel better. I know I do for sure. Before, I know back in college especially, like, you know, we'd have practice for 2 or 3 hours out in the field, plus weights, plus film, and it was just, I was exhausted all the time. Basically, when I wasn't on the field or in the weight room, I was just trying to recover and chill, and I never felt fresh. I never felt snappy after just constantly beating myself up like that every day. Whereas in contrast now, I do my morning routine. I do my 3 sets of rows, push-up, squats, some core work with Pocket Monkey, of course. And then later in the day, I might go for the run. I might do some lifting. I might do some more monkeying. Just, it all depends on the day. But the point is, I'm doing more volume than if I was just doing this 1 hour workout. But because I'm spreading it out throughout the day, I'm not exhausted. And having the daughter, having the business, it's been a huge, huge shift in how I feel. And I think I'm honestly in the best shape of my life, at least from a wellness standpoint. Might've been a little bit stronger back in college, but also weighed about 20 pounds more and ate probably, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 calories a day. So moving on to the other topic I wanted to bring up, I was listening to a podcast. It's actually my buddy Mason, the Adventure Sports Podcast. Definitely check that out. ASP, what's up, Mason? So I was listening to his podcast episode with an adventurer named Alistair Humphreys, who kind of started his adventure. Well, kind of. He definitely started his adventure career with a 4-year bike ride around the world. So for 4 years, he rode his bike all around the world. All these different countries, had all these crazy adventures, experiences, all that stuff. And then has basically ever since then just led this life of adventure. Some super creative ideas as well. He rode across the Atlantic. This one I thought was really cool was he walked 500 miles across Spain. But he didn't bring any money. He played violin in the town square every day and basically was a street performer. And that's the only money he got was from those street performances. So he'd buy like a loaf of bread or, you know, whatever he could afford really, and then just go sleep on a hill and do it again the next day. So I thought that was just a super creative, cool way to explore the country. But the point I'm trying to make with Alistair is he's a dad. He has 2 kids and, you know, he can't do these crazy multi-year, year-long adventures like he used to. But what I think is really cool is he's really promoting and living out for himself this concept of the micro-adventure. So it might just be as simple as going, taking a half an hour and going to climb this tree in his village where he lives, or it could be just going out for a quick one-night camping trip, or just even just sleeping out in his backyard for a night. So it's all these very simple, very executable micro-adventures. And what hearing him talk about those made me think was just taking that concept to training, right? So if you can't go and do this hour-long class or workout or whatever, you could still do micro-workouts throughout your day, throughout your life, just kind of changing your perspective on what is a workout? How does a workout work? It's kind of a funny thing to say, but just changing your outlook on that and then taking advantage of any moment in time where you can do, could be 5 squats, could be 10 push-ups, could be some rows, could be some tucks, anything, but just taking advantage of all those little moments, all those little micro workouts throughout your day. And it's just this concept of these small steps, small increments over this longer period of time that really add up. If you did 10 rows a day for a year, that's 3,650 reps over the course of a year. So I'm telling you guys, it adds up. I've been pretty much doing a minimum of, gosh, I'll say 200 reps a day since the September of 2018. And I can just feel my work capacity going up. I feel better. I never feel broken down. And then if there's a day where I want to do whatever, 100 pull-ups or some crazy long run or climb a huge peak or whatever, I'm well rested. So I'm able to just kind of crank it up, go do that, and then maybe take easier rest day after that. But I notice I'm recovering much better as well. So a couple things to think about. Hopefully this sparks some ideas in you guys, and really appreciate the feedback recently. And before I wrap up, for those, I'm sure most of you are not familiar with this, but this year is like crazy conditions. There's a ton of snow, especially in California. So just seeing the photos of just this endless snow and trying to hike through it. If you ever tried to hike through late season snow in the Sierras, it's not something you want to do. So I really respect her mental fortitude for staying on the trail. And she sent me a really nice note about the podcast. So just want to give her a shout out, say thanks. And I really appreciate the feedback from everyone that's been sending notes, commenting on YouTube, sending Instagram messages, whatever it is. It keeps me psyched, gives me ideas for the podcast. And, you know, we're doing this for you guys. So we want to hear from the monkey family, the monkey community, and keep getting wilder. So monkey on, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. See you out there.